Father, thank you for this time, Lord, for this word, for your heart to reveal yourself to us, and that, Lord, you would tell us these things because you want us to follow and be obedient to them. I just thank you, Lord, for every heart that is here today, and I just thank you, Lord, for the love that you have for each one of us, and how, Father, you draw us into relationships with you through the gift of your Son. And, Lord, I don't know why we, as a world, focus on this time of year, but, Lord, we ought to be thinking about you every day, that, Lord, as life flows from you and love flows from you, that, Lord, we would be mindful of your desire to walk with us. And Lord, forgive us when we don't think about that and when we don't put that first, and that we walk without you. Let's pray, Father, that you would help us to hear your words, that, Lord, they would not be trampled underfoot, but that, Lord, they would be heard and received, Lord, not only with joy, but, Lord, in a good and perfect heart that is prepared. Lord, sometimes you use difficult circumstances to prepare our hearts. Lord, we trust you. It's in those difficult times, Lord, that we need you more than ever. And although, Lord, you do not create the sorrow, you use it, Lord, to make us know you're there. And I just thank you, Father, for that. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to continue on today looking at the Sermon on the Mount. Pig in a suit, you know, that's going to have some bearing in here. Some pearls up there. There's a pig in the hog trough. And that's a set of dog teeth up there, in case you were wondering. Nice set of choppers. He's not smiling. He's getting ready to bite. So these are some things that we're going to be looking at today as we go forward here into this next teaching that Christ has on this Sermon on the Mount. We're going to begin in Matthew chapter 7. We're going to float around a couple different places. Hopefully, the Lord will connect some dots for us. I'm trusting that He's going to connect some dots for us. And He will be the one that is teaching us. Well, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus has kind of turned from outward spiritual appearances to inward examination. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye'? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Before I read and go forward in the verse that we're going to really kind of camp on today, what does God use in your life to expose the log that's there? I know personally for me, He's used difficult circumstances. He's used other people. Sometimes He's used harsh criticism. He's used loss. He's used lack. Sometimes He's used blessings. But He's used those things in my life to show me the things that are there in my own life. And sometimes when He really loves me, and you know how you can tell when He really loves you is because He takes you out of that woodshed and you get a lot of time with Him. But when you know that He really loves you, He lets you see your sin from His perspective. And when you see your sin from God's perspective, when you see things the way that He sees things, you know, a shrinking feeling comes onto you. It's a feeling that, you know, I'm not as big as I thought I was. My pants, my britches are a little bit big for me. And I get to thinking, you know, Lord, I just need to keep my mouth closed. I just need to stop thinking these thoughts, or I need to stop predetermining the way people are, and I need to stop judging other people. And God reveals these things to us through circumstances and through people and through situations because He wants us to learn from them and to advance, to mature, to grow. Okay? That's God's intentions for us. That's His plan for us in our lives. And so with that having been said, Jesus makes this statement, and I think it's probably been misrepresented in a lot of different ways. In fact, I was talking to Allison, and she was sharing with me, a friend of hers at school, indicated that some Mormons came by their house to visit and to spread the news of what they had to say. And a vigorous discussion ensued, at which point the Mormon said, "Well, I'm not going to cast my pearls before swine," and he turned and he walked away. And I think we probably have done the same thing when it comes to talking to other people. We may have said, "Well, you know, these precious things that I know that are true, I'm not going to cast them before swine." And almost with a Pharisaic, hypocritical, prideful air, we turn our heads and we say, shaking the dust off my feet. See ya. You know, I got nothing more to say to you. And I don't think that that's exactly what the Lord's message was here. He says, "Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." Okay? Matthew 7, verse 6. Well, as I was studying this, the Lord reminded me of another passage of Scripture where those two same animals are also included. And I think it's interesting because I think that there's a connection here. It says in 2 Peter 2:22, "It has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow, after washing, returns to wallowing in the mire." Now, we'll look here more closely as to how these things connect, but when we go forward, we need to pull this passage apart and understand it more clearly. Pigs don't generally tear people to pieces. Dogs are not generally in the business of trampling. We need to understand this Matthew 7, verse 6 passage as being, "Do not give what is holy to dogs, or they will turn and tear you to pieces. And do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet." Okay, so we need to understand these two examples. He begins with the dog, then he goes to the pig, he continues with the pig, and then he comes back to the dog. That's the way that these things should probably be understood. Okay? So pigs. Okay, back to my pig in the suit outfit. When we look at what Jesus says about them, he says, don't throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet. You know, when you think about something being trampled underfoot, it's not got any value. I remember what Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 5 when he said that if the salt has lost its saltiness, it is no longer good for anything but to be thrown on the road and be trampled underfoot. In Hebrews 10, verses 26, 27, 28, 29, he says that if we continue to sin willfully, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there is no sacrifice for sin. God withdraws it. It says that there is no more sacrifice for sin, but a fearful expectation of a fire reserved for the adversaries. And he says, if someone died for violating the law of Moses, how much more severe punishment would someone deserve if they had trampled underfoot the Son of God? So when God tells us that we're not to do something, or when He gives us instructions about how we're to live, and we choose to not follow His instructions, then we are trampling on those words, and ultimately trampling on the Son of God. Because He died to give us this message. He died so that we would know what the truth is, and so that not only we would know it, but so that we would be obedient to it. So these things are extremely important to us. So, when it comes to giving pearls, I was reading a book this week, and in the book, the concept of a pearl that I'd never looked at before was put before me. Did you realize that the pearl is a jewel that is born of pain, suffering, and death? When you think about an oyster, a grain of sand gets inside the oyster, it's irritating. You know, if you've ever felt an oyster, they're smooth and slimy and... But when that sand gets in there, the oyster begins to put material around it that causes that pearl to develop. Okay? And as that pearl develops, surrounding that that irritant, eventually, when that pearl is harvested, that oyster, its life is over. Okay? But that pearl, what is it when Christ says, do not throw your pearls before swine? Now, I don't think it was intended to think about a necklace of pearls or a bracelet of pearls, but I believe that God is trying to communicate here, do not take the things that I have put into, that I've allowed to be in your life, that have caused pain, suffering, in some cases, death. Do not take those things and cast them before someone that doesn't value them, someone that is going to trample over them. And I'll make that case a little clearer here in just a second. A pearl, and like I was saying earlier, how does God reveal that log to me in my own eye? It's through difficult circumstances, or it's through allowing me to see things from His perspective. And when I see them from His perspective, He's always working to get those things out of me or to develop good things through me. And you think that a piece of sand would be a pretty bad deal for an oyster, although its environment is surrounded by sand. You think about the world that we're in and how God allows things. Paul, a thorn in the flesh, He allows things in our lives so that His grace is enough for us to get through them. Okay? He doesn't leave us alone. He gives us His grace, and He's pouring it out on us. And so He allows those specks of sand and those things in our lives that are uncomfortable, unenjoyable, perhaps sorrowful, so that He can work with us through His grace to develop that pearl. And when we grasp those things, have you ever sat there and you struggled through a circumstance, not understanding what God was doing through it, and coming out on the other side of it, you look back at that awful, difficult, horrible thing that you thinkingly would sign up again for, and you look back, and it's precious to you, because God used it in such an incredible way that now it is a pearl of great price. It cost you something. It was costly to you. And so, the lessons that we learn, the things that God reveals to us, these are those pearls of great price. These are these pearls that Jesus says, do not throw them before swine, or they will trample them under their feet. Okay, so let's understand that pearl, these are things that God teaches us through difficulties. Paul says that everyone who lives godly in Christ Jesus is going to be persecuted. Okay, this is something that we should get our hands around. Remember, as we've said before, that if Christianity was about nothing but sunshine and rainbows, then Jesus was the worst Christian that ever lived, because He lived the Christian life, I'd say, flawlessly, and got crucified as a result of it. We should understand that in the Christian life, the world is going to always provide trouble. What we do with that is up to us. Whether we let that sand irritate us and irritate us and irritate us, or we let the grace of God come in around and surround that irritant and understand how God desires to use it, and it becomes a pearl in our life. So we need to understand that. Well, how does the issue of the pig in a suit come into play? Well, as 2 Peter talks about how a sow, after washing, goes back to wallowing in the mire, you can clean a pig. You know, someone said you can put a suit on a pig, but it's still a pig. Granted, but the pig can be cleaned. You can put fragrance on it. It can smell good. Some people have pigs as house pets. You know, you try to domesticate them and turn them into, I guess the rage maybe 10 years or so ago were potbelly pigs. And boy, those were just like having a little bulldog or, you know, cute little things. And that was a rage, was to have pigs for pets. But a pig's nature is to go and roll in the mud. Its nature is to go and to get dirty. And while you can clean them externally, they don't put the value on the cleaning. They don't put any value really on being in your house or maybe eating out of a dog bowl. Their desire, their makeup causes them to want to go and roll in the mud. I mean, it's just what they do. And that's why he says, a sow after washing returns to wallowing in the mire. Because that's its nature. And it should show us that you can clean the outside of somebody. You can clean the outside of them. But if the nature of the person doesn't change, they'll go back to it again. and what you've put before them will be trampled. I think it's interesting that in the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, he talks about this, and he says that the seeds, the various types of seeds, you've got the good seed that fell in the good soil and produced a great return. You've got the seed that fell among thorns, and we know that that's the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of pursuing wealth. And that chokes out the seed. And then we know that there's a rocky soil seed, that the soil is hard and is not able to receive moisture, and so it's not able to grow the way that it should, and it is ultimately scorched as the sun comes up. But the first seed that Jesus talks about is the seed that is sown on the road. Okay, and the seed that is sown on the road really has little or no chance at all of taking root, of bearing fruit, being used. In fact, all it does is it says it gets trampled underfoot and it is picked up by the birds and removed. It's the same word for trampling. And when you go and you share with somebody what was precious to you, what was costly to you, a lesson that you learned through much prayer, through much tears, through much sorrow, and you go and share that with somebody else who does not have a changed nature, who is maybe clean on the outside, but inside they're still a pig. And I don't mean that in an ugly way, but in terms of examining our nature, there's nothing that's changed about them. You can clean the outside of them, but when you go and you share this with somebody, and I think we've all done that. I think we've probably all shared something, you know, God was really showing me that. And they look at you and they go, oh, that's nice. So what's for lunch? You know, and it just, you know, there's no value associated with what you've just shared with them. And I'm not telling you that, hey, you know, now I know who the pigs are in my life. No, that's not what I'm trying to tell you, because our responsibility, remember, Jesus has just said that we're not to judge, okay, but we are to understand what it is that is valuable and precious to us. And those things are to be shared with people who have a very different kind of heart towards those things. Not just someone who is cleaned on the outside, but someone who is cleaned within. And that cleansing from within comes through a change in the nature. Okay, it's your old things have passed away. Now you're a new creation in Christ. It's a new life that is led by the Spirit. Not following the old things that the old world used to do. This is someone who is obedient to the Lord's directions. And I don't mean mostly obedient. I don't mean obedient on Sunday. I mean obedient. I know my children, they know that obedience is a daily thing. That I don't expect obedience on Saturday and then they're free for 6 days to be disobedient. No, obedience is obedience. And it's the same thing with God. So when it comes to taking these things that God has so diligently worked in our lives, and you know, it takes, and believe me, God's not getting worn out by this, but it takes a great amount of work for us to hear and understand what it is He's trying to do through us, how He's trying to reveal these things to us. And He's not just wasting His grace on us for nothing. He's doing it because He loves us. He's doing it because He knows that apart from that grace, that irritant would cause us such difficulty and such sorrow and such sadness, that if we didn't trust Him, if we didn't believe Him, I mean, it would probably be our undoing. And so He gives it to us so that we understand the value associated with it. And because of its value, now, and if you're anything like me, when God teaches you something and He reveals something to you, don't you just want to run out the front door and tell everybody you know? I mean, that's just kind of the way that you feel. I mean, that's the way that I feel sometimes. And it's been discouraging to me sometimes as I've gone out and I've said, hey, let me tell you what the Lord just told me. Uh-huh, great, what's for lunch? You know, or, oh, that's nice. And they just brush it aside. Or, worse yet, they turn on you and they begin to argue with you about it. And, well, I don't really believe that, and that's ridiculous, and how discouraging. Well, I think Jesus was trying to prepare His disciples and say, look, guys, the things that you're going to learn, they're going to be hard lessons, difficult, challenging things to go through. Listen, those are your pearls, and don't just throw them out there in front of anybody. Throw them to someone who is going to value them. And that's what I think Jesus is referring to here. And that's why I think that there's a connection. Great that you can clean a pig, but ultimately it finds its way back into the mud. So don't throw your pearls before the swine, or they will trample them under their feet. A sow after washing returns to wallowing in the mire. He's still a pig. I was talking to Lori the other day, and we were given the story of a fox and a scorpion, both sitting on the shore, both wanting to cross the river. Scorpions obviously don't swim very well. Foxes do. And so the scorpion says to the fox, "How about you give me a ride across the river?" And the fox says, "You're a scorpion. Halfway across, you're going to sting me." He said, "If I sting you, then we'll both drown." So the fox thought, "Yeah, you're right. Okay, hop on back." So they start swimming across this river. As they get halfway across, the scorpion stings the fox on the back of its neck. And as the fox is beginning to drown, he says, "Why did you do that? Now we will both drown." And he says, "I couldn't help it. It was my nature." And we've got to be discerning as to the nature of the people whom we talk to. And I don't mean judgmental, I mean discerning. If we look at a person's life and we see that that life has an exterior appearance of religion, but we know that they're profane, or we know that they're immoral, or we know that they like to do things with their bodies that are not pleasing to God, we can know and be discerning and say, you know what? It's probably not time for me to share this with them because they're not at a place where they can hear it. Now, it's interesting to me that when Jesus talked to people, when he went to Nicodemus and spoke to him at night, or when he talked to Zacchaeus, or when he spoke to the woman caught in the act of adultery, Jesus knew just when to speak to somebody. The woman at the well in Samaria. He knew just when to speak to somebody because he knew their hearts. We don't get that same advantage that Jesus did of being able to scan their hearts and to know the situation there. But we can be discerning, and the Lord can give us the Holy Spirit to give us discernment and wisdom to understand who we should and who we shouldn't. At the very least, we should pray before we just share with somebody. That will save us heartache, as the precious things that we have shared with them is trampled. Imagine you take a picture of one of your children, a precious child, and you hand it to somebody and say, "Look at this. This is my precious child." And they took the picture and they threw it on the ground and they stomped on it. It'd make you upset, wouldn't it? I can remember when Christy and I first went to Olin Mills and we were buying pictures. She's laughing because she knows I got hooked on this one. This is low down, dirty, underhanded marketing is what this is. Because we went in there and we had this coupon for this free 8x10, and we were coming in there, we were going to do this picture, and we thought we'd, you know, maybe buy a couple of extra sheets for $14.95 each, and okay, so we'll do that. And they printed out all of them. Okay, they had multiple sheets of all of the different pictures. It was pictures of Allison as a baby. And they printed out all of them and said, "Okay, well, let's take this one and this one." Okay. And I was naive, I guess, and I asked him, "What are you going to do with the rest of them?" "Oh, we're going to shred them." "Shred them? Shred my baby?" We walked out of there and bought every single one of them. Spent like $150. I was a real moron. But that's what they were doing because those pictures were precious to us. Well, how much more the things that God teaches us? How much more the lessons that He carries us through? And on the other side of that valley that He takes us through, how sweet the hillside that leads up to that mountain of fellowship with Him. Be very discerning with who you share with and how you share. Well, let's look at the dogs issue. Now, just like the pigs, we talked about the pigs were external in their cleanliness. Well, this issue from a dog standpoint is internal. Because a dog has vomited out something. Okay, and that's kind of nasty. Hopefully there's been enough time between breakfast and now that your stomach doesn't get squeamish. But a dog returns to his own vomit. And he talks about it in Matthew that they will turn and tear you to pieces. It says, do not give what is holy to dogs, or they will turn and tear you to pieces. You know, if you follow dogs throughout the Bible, it's not a very noble animal. It's kind of funny that we've found that to be one of the pets that we love and endear, and we have a dog and love him quite a bit. But as you follow dogs throughout the Bible, the dogs were really kind of the biblical vacuum, if you will. They would go and, you know, when a prophecy would be, okay, Ahab, because of what you've done to Naboth, the dogs will lick your blood in his vineyard. Later on, he is killed, and his blood runs off the chariot, and the dogs lick the blood. Prophecy given about Jezebel, that the dogs will eat you. Okay, well, she is thrown out the window of her palace, hits the ground. By the time they go down there to collect her, the dogs have already eaten her. Okay, dogs cleaning up garbage. Okay, and the things that dogs take in are generally not very good. And when you look at the world that's around us, there is so much garbage, and there's so much negative and so much wrong to drink in to our bodies. Any wonder that it would make somebody want to vomit? Reminded of how Jesus said, the one who is lukewarm, the one who is not cold nor hot, I will spew them out of my mouth. I will vomit them up. Well, here we're dealing with an animal that vomits, but then goes back to it. Now, when it comes to holy things, the word holy means set apart for special use. Okay, and you don't just give those kind of things to anybody. After all, when God reveals these things to you, and just like the pearls, the holy things that God reveals to you through His Word, and believe me, you can come here on Sundays and you can hear what I'm saying and you can benefit from it. But nothing will benefit you like private time alone, struggling with the Lord through His Word. Trusting Him, trying to understand, praying for wisdom. James says that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. That's God's intention. It's to not hide this from you. He wants to reveal it to you. But just like His instructions to His disciples, He's not going to reveal it to somebody who's going to trample it underfoot or who's going to turn on Him and try to tear Him into pieces. So understand that if God reveals something to you, it is His intention that you be obedient to it. It is not His intention that you would trample it underfoot or that you would turn aggressively and complain to Him about it. Like I said, with the pig, his issues were external. He could look good. He can be, you know, he can seem great. This is clearly a mark of an internal issue. Okay, the dog's issue is internal. He has vomited this up. And you know, a lot of people can turn from things that were bad for them. They can get them out of their system. I'm reminded of the story that Jesus talks about how the guy who has this spirit within him, it is removed, his soul is cleaned and swept, and then that evil spirit comes back later with seven spirits more wicked than him and finds him empty and goes right back into him. And it says that the second condition is worse than the first. Well, that's true in a lot of people's lives. They go and they remove the things from their lives that are bad for them. They remove the things that are negative to them. They may get rid of all the objectionable movies that they have, and they may choose to watch, you know, PBS television or you know, the TBN or the Bible Channel that's all they're going to watch, and all they listen to is worship music all the time, and that's all they'll let come into their mind. They can do all those things, which are good in and of themselves, but if they're not filled with the Holy Spirit, then the reality of it is there's an open door for danger later on. And the second condition becomes worse than the first. And the passage in 2 Peter, it's a very interesting passage because in that passage, We're not talking about people who didn't know the truth or people who weren't understanding of what was being made known to them. It says in verse 20, it says, "For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world," that's that stuff that they're drinking in through their eyes and is going down into their heart. And how do they do that? By the knowledge. And this just isn't, hey, I know about that. No, this is epinosis. This is a higher knowledge. This is a full knowledge, an experiential knowledge. So how have they escaped the defilements of the world? By the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It says, after that's taken place, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The last state has become worse for them than the first. Now, it's kind of funny that Jesus used that statement as he was talking to his disciples. And then here Peter uses the same statement. The last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would be better for them to not have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandment handed to them. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow after washing returns to wallowing in the mire. This is not the lost world. This is not the world that is rejecting Christ. This is not Buddhists and Hindus and Muslims and Mormons and whatever. This is not that. This is a person who has escaped the defilements of the world through an experiential knowledge with Jesus Christ. Okay, they have been broken free. And then after that, they are again entangled in these things and overcome. That's what he's talking about here when he says that they're like dogs returning to their own vomit. And this Proverbs 26:11 is the passage that Peter is referring to. It says, like a dog that returns to its vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. Okay, that's what Peter is talking about. He's going back to Proverbs 26. And when a person is revealed information, when you give truth to somebody and you tell them this is the holiness of God and this is what His intentions are for your life and this is how He wants you to live, and He doesn't want you to live that way that you used to live. He doesn't want you to continue to do those sinful things that you did before. He wants you to be obedient. He wants you to do what He says is right. And in doing so, you become righteous. That's what He's looking for you to do. And when that stuff's revealed to you, and then you go back and you do the same things that you did before, you're just like the dog that returns to its vomit, because the fool who repeats his folly is like that dog that goes back to his vomit. Now, we've all, those of us who've had pets, I've had them, I don't know what it is about the dog's vomit that makes him want to go back and eat it, and we all go, ooh, that is so gross. It is. It's awful. Horrible, nasty thought. You know, that's a dog. And yet God compares those of us who have been told the truth and then go back to the garbage as the dog returning to his vomit. Is that sobering? I mean, to me, that's sobering, because according to Peter, this isn't the guy that just didn't know. This is a guy who has escaped the defilements of the world. It means he's not defiled anymore. He's been cleaned like a sow after washing. But we understand that this guy, although he got the yuck out and he got the outside clean, something didn't happen. He didn't continue to pursue that relationship with Christ. He didn't receive the fullness of the Spirit indwelling him. Something along those lines happened, and it hindered him, and he became prey to the enemy. And not only that, he was overcome by those things, and now he is in a worse condition than he was at first. Now, for the guy that never knew the way of righteousness, according to our Bibles and the way that we understand, the way that they're written, if a person never knew the right way to go, the outcome for them is hell. Okay? A person who doesn't follow after Christ, a person who would follow a false religion, who would reject God, an atheist who says, I don't believe that there is a God, we would say that their outcome is hell, separation from God, an eternity separated from Him. How could it be worse for someone who knew the right thing to do and then didn't do it, and now they're worse off than if they never knew it? Well, we understand as we read God's Word that He will judge everyone according to their deeds. And we've all known people who have had greater responsibility. And a person who has greater responsibility, you know, we've heard it said, to whom much is given, much is required. So when God reveals things to you and He intends for you to obey them and you choose to reject that understanding and you go back to the wrong, you're more accountable than the person who never knew. And that's why Jesus could say, the one who did things worthy of a beating will be beaten with few stripes, but the one who knew to do right and didn't do it will be beaten with many stripes. There is a degree of punishment. A degree of punishment that is greater. And the example being the dog that returns to his vomit. Goes and takes... I mean, you know, it ought to be a clue to us that if we had to vomit it out, it wasn't good for us in the first place, right? Whenever we get sick, you ever get food poisoning? And you get sick and you throw up? It's because what was in you wasn't good for you in the first place. Okay, well, that ought to be a clue to the dog that, hey, look, if it came back out the way you sent it in, it shouldn't have gone in there in the first place. Don't go take that back in. But we get in our minds the idea that this is the only thing that can feed me. There's not anything else good for me to go and eat. I mean, imagine the dog that throws up and he's looking at two options. That and a steak. And he goes back to his vomit. That's what we're looking at. We're looking at the difference between life and peace with God, it found in His Word, or nausea, death, separation from Him. And we need to understand that. So that when Jesus, when He's talking about don't throw your pearls before swine, and don't give what is holy to dogs, it's because He's trying to protect the disciples from making wrong choices when it comes to sharing with people to be discerning. Now, there are warnings to us in 2 Peter. This 2 Peter passage is a warning. And it's not a warning to the world. It's a warning to those who would go back to the wrong ways, who, after cleaning, would go back to the mud. Okay, it's a warning that the second condition is worse than the first. So don't be in that camp. But it's also a warning to us to be discerning. And the reason that these kind of things can happen, I mean, as the example is given here, a fool going back to his folly, well, we really don't think that that could be very harmful to us. Well, that's like a pig going back to the slough, I mean, to the hog trough. Okay? Dog returning to his vomit. But look at what he says here in Proverbs 9, 7 through 8. He who corrects a scoffer gets dishonor for himself, and he who reproves a wicked man gets insults for himself. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. And what will happen, and you guys have probably done this, if you haven't, you may, you've gone and shared something with somebody. You've gone and said, hey, look, I was noticing how you handled yourself there, and I don't think that's what you should have handle that. And what does he do? He turns on you. Or she turns on you and she snarls at you and says, who are you to be my judge? And well, you got this going on. And they begin to attack you. Okay, well, the Proverbs warn us that we're not to... A person who's a scoffer is a person who laughs at the truth and who throws it aside and doesn't put much value on those things and they make light of what's holy. They scoff at those things. They laugh at them. They berate you and belittle you as a result of that. And so, if you go and you try to rebuke a scoffer, what Jesus is saying, look, don't do this. Don't go and take what is holy and put it before dogs, or they will turn on you and they'll tear you to pieces. Because that's what dogs did in the Bible. That was how dogs behaved. As one who would carry out judgment. And so he's trying to tell his disciples, look, be wise with whom you share. And if there's a bottom line to this whole message today, it's be discerning and wise with whom you share. Okay? Also, be wise with whom is sharing with you. God is revealing truth to you. You better be obedient to it. The outcome, if you look in 2 Peter chapter 2, is not very good if we turn back to the mud pen or if we go back to the vomit. The outcome is catastrophic. Okay, we need to understand that. So don't go there. And if that's not true of you, praise the Lord. If it is true of you, repent, which just means turn, change your direction, and begin doing what pleases God. Okay? Ask the Holy Spirit. He will show you. Maybe you don't know. Search out someone who will talk with you. What does it mean to please God? What does He want from me? Pray, and the Lord will show you in His Word. I know that, it's living and active. There are times when He hits me with this, and it was as if I was the only guy that this was written to. So I know that it works that way. Pray for wisdom. He will give it to you. And so that's for those who may be in that condition there. But if we're not in this condition, and like I said, praise God that we're not, be wise. Okay? Be wise with whom you talk to. Esteem what God has shown you in His Word. Take what this precious pearl and do not just cast it. Wait. You know, we get in this mentality that, you know, this fast food world and I gotta get it now and I gotta give you everything that I know right now because your mouth is open that much. I gotta jam it all in there. No. I can tell you in the last 6 years of my life, I feel like I've lived 30 years. They've been full. God has been dealing with me one day at a time. And there are new truths in every single day. New opportunities to obey Him. New things to follow. New things to let fall by the wayside. And I don't mean sin. Okay, sin should be just thrown away. But there are things that can be distractions, time wasters, things that would discourage us from pursuing His best. Those things, every day, an opportunity to let go of the world and embrace Christ. Let go of the wisdom of this age and embrace the wisdom that is from above. Every day in my life, those opportunities exist. And they exist for you too. But be wise and patient about the way that the Lord would use you. You can't just run out there and say, hey, look, guess what? God showed me this and that and some of this and the other. And hey, sit still because I got a whole lot of stuff to tell you. In fact, I'm going to write it in a book so that if I miss anything, it's all right. No. Because it is the Lord who draws men, not us. We're just vessels. We're things that are used by Him, provided that we're usable. Don't think that you've got to rush somebody to get the truth. That's the Lord's responsibility. Remember we said the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That is His responsibility. And even when it comes to Christian friends, there's discernment that's got to be exercised in terms of what you reveal. Because just like your children, steak is good. In my house, it's very good. My kids love to eat it. But there are some children that are in my home that cannot chew it. So while it might present an interesting taste, their tongues are not accustomed to the texture, they cannot chew it properly, and all it may result in is a choking hazard. Same thing goes for God's Word and the pearls that God gives to you, the holy things that He reveals to you in His Word. You've got to be careful with how you pass those things on, just like feeding children. It's the same thing spiritually. So this is not to say, hey, be puffed up with pride and say, well, God's taught me some things and I can't really reveal them to you right now because you're not quite mature. That's not at all what I'm saying. Jesus told His own disciples that I want to tell you more, but you can't bear it. Sometimes it's the discernment that says, no, I need to wait. And when you do wait and you don't just give the full disclosure of the whole Christian life and, the whole Pilgrim's Progress in 30 words or less, when you don't do that and you wait for the Lord to do it, you'll be amazed at how much more effective that word will be in the right time, and how much more He'll be glorified by it. Yeah, you may not get to present the sale and close it and make them, you know, this super awesome Christian, but God will allow you to play a part in someone's life who will abide in Christ, and they will not turn away. If we choose to reject Christ's warning to not throw what's holy to dogs and to not throw pearls before swine, I think we've seen the examples of what could take place. He says that the dogs will turn and tear you to pieces. Obviously, that's not, I take that back. If you know, I'm sure some people have taken quite a beating for saying the truth. In fact, you look throughout the Bible, Paul was stoned for speaking the truth. Many of the disciples were killed as a result of speaking the truth. God's got to be the God of that situation, and He knows when their time is up, and He knows when their time is not. Paul was stoned to death, and the Lord revived him outside of Lystra. So when God's done, He's done. Until then, it's more likely that we're going to get chewed to pieces by their mouths, verbally. It's not to say that it's not possible for someone to become so angry and filled with rage as a result of what you say to them, but either way, bad scenario. So learn from what Christ is trying to convey here. Remember, He's talking to His disciples about this, but we've got to be warned for ourselves that we would not be dogs and that we would not return to our vomit and that we would not be pigs that look clean on the outside and we go back to the mud. And then when it comes to exercising discernment with others, that we've got to be prayerful, patient, slow to speak. Okay, that whole slow to speak thing doesn't just work well when it comes to not getting angry or saying things that you shouldn't say, but it can also be very effective when it comes to saying things that you should say. Be careful. Okay? That's what Jesus is trying to say to us here. So let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Holy Spirit, I thank You for the wisdom that You desire to give us. Sometimes it requires us to wait. I'm reminded of Elisha. It was in the still small voice that You were speaking. And I pray, Father, that we would be patient to wait for that still small voice and that it would be so clear and so obvious so that, Lord, when You speak, we speak. That we would not speak until spoken through. And Father, I pray that this would also be a time of self-examination, that Lord, if we have taken into our bodies the things that should cause spiritual nausea, that Lord, we would not be ones who return to that same source, to that same polluted well, but that Lord, we would turn from those things, and that we would embrace the cross, and that we would embrace the sacrifice, and that we would drink from the pure river of life, the living waters, Lord, that You desire to pour into us as a fountain, Lord, that overflows, that will splash those around us. The waters that Jesus talked to the woman at the well in Samaria about, waters that would make us never thirst again. Lord, why would we ever want to go back to the other? And Father, if we've carried a form of godliness with no power within, Lord, whitewashed pigs, Lord, like the whitewashed sepulchers that the Pharisees were, outside clean and bright, but inside full of death, I pray, Father, that You would give us a new heart and a new mind, and that You would pour Your Spirit into us, as You promised to do so, as a good Father who gives good gifts. We trust You, Lord. We love You. Thank You for those who are here today, and for those who could not be here. I pray, Lord, You would go with them. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.